Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk about in a lot of football. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. We talk a lot about NCAA men's and women's scores. We talk about pie-eating contests, hot dog-eating contests, camel racing, horse racing, bare-knuckle boxing, UFC, boxing, all that stuff. Anything that comes across the monitor as a sport, you're more than welcome to call in to the show and talk about it. If we don't know about it, you can teach us about it. If you don't know about what we're talking about, we can teach you about what we're talking about. We are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBSTW, Best Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:05 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Time is 8:05 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here in Chula Vista, California. All right, let's get off into it. Blazing Saddles in the West is our topic today. Blazing Saddles in the West is our topic today. Today we're going to be the host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the big trade between the East and West and the NBA before the trade deadline. Topics to be discussed but not limited to will be the Brooklyn Nets, the Dallas Mavericks, NHL, All-Star results, NCAA men's and women's scores, and breaking news from the NFL and MLB. All right, let's get off into it. Everybody heard by now the big news going down in the NBA right before the trade deadline on February the 9th, three more days for the trade deadline. But interesting story that everybody's talking about. Kyrie Irving has packed his bags. He's leaving. He's already left Brooklyn. And he's already, if I'm correct, he's already touched down in Dallas. He's in the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth. He's going to be playing for the Mavericks. So I believe Dallas got the American Airlines Arena. So he's left the Brooklyn Nets to go to the DFW. He'll be playing with Luka Doncic. So I want people to call in at area code 515-602-9687 to discuss this. Area code 515-602-9687. This big trade that's going down, that went down in the West yesterday. So again, our topic is Blazing Saddles in the West. The host with the Bay Pro, I'm sure quarterbacks are going to a big trade between the East and West in the NBA before the trade deadline. Again, everybody already know big breaking news. Kyrie Irving has left the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant to go and join the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic. His new boss now is Mark Cuban. Kyrie has taken the bait, has taken the paycheck from his new employer, Mark Cuban. He got a better deal with Mark Cuban. They're saying that the media experts are saying that the Brooklyn Nets didn't want to extend Kyrie Irving a long-term deal. They didn't want to give him the long-term deal that he was so badly seeking. The media experts are saying that Joe Tsai and the Brooklyn Nets front office just didn't trust Kyrie. They were just like, you know, they wanted to just play everything out. I guess the current contract that he's on, they might have wanted to play it out, I'm assuming, and then renegotiate at a later date, maybe after the season. But Kyrie wanted a long-term deal. He wanted a long-term deal now. And so he didn't get it. Mark Cuban and his group done some talking with the Brooklyn Nets front office, and they just made a better offer. Kyrie obviously couldn't turn the offer down. But the funny thing about it is, they're saying in the media, on the social media platforms, that Joe Tsai in the Brooklyn Nets front office made the statement that I don't want to trade him to the Los Angeles Lakers. I'll trade him anywhere but where he wants to go, and that's the Los Angeles Lakers. He's going to get traded. He's forcing the trade, no problem. But he's not going to team up with Kevin with his old teammate LeBron James. We're not sending him. We're not packaging him up and sending him to the Los Angeles Lakers. He's not going to LA. He's not going to Hollywood. He's not leaving New York. He's not leaving Brooklyn, New York, the bright lights of Brooklyn, New York, and going to the bright lights of Hollywood. He's not going there. What he's going to do is go down south. We're going to send him down south. It's an old term they used to use back in the days of pre-Emancipation Proclamation. Kind of fitting, you know, being in Black History Month. They use the term pre-Emancipation Proclamation. If you were a slave, they'll say, you better be careful. You're going to get sold down south. You better be careful. You're going to get sold down south, meaning, like, if you were in the upper south, like Frederick Douglass was in Baltimore, Maryland, Lowndes County, Baltimore, Maryland. You can call in and correct me if I'm wrong about the county, but I believe Frederick Douglass was in Lowndes County or Lowndes County, one of them, Maryland. I think it's Loudes or Lowndes, one of them. I think it's Lowndes County, Maryland. This, they call Maryland the Upper South. So if you was a slave and you got in trouble in the Upper South, they'll tell you, hey, you better be careful, you know, because the master will sell you down south. When they sell you down south, we're talking about Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, the real South, the lower South, the deep South. If you was a slave, you didn't want to go into the deep South. Some say it was better in the upper South, but when you get sold down south in the deep South, you know you're in trouble. So this, I'm reverting back using this analogy, if I'm correct, if I'm using the correct word here, I'm using this analogy to say that, you know, comparing two things. Josiah in the Brooklyn Nets front office basically said, Kyrie Irving is not going west. He's getting sold down south. He got sold down south to the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad trade, because obviously it works out for Mark Cuban and his group and Luka Doncic. I'm trying to see how these two guys are going to fit together. I'm trying to see how it's going to all work. I believe that Kyrie and Luka Doncic offensively, oh yeah, I see the points going up. Now with this trade, I see that they can actually contend with Jokic and Jamal Murray a little bit better now, because Jokic got his shooting guard, point guard. At the same time now, Luka Doncic got his shooting guard, point guard. So this is going to be interesting in the West. I mean, even though Josiah thought he was being funny and saying that, well, I'm not going to send Kyrie Irving where he wants to go. He's not going to L.A. He's not forcing a trade and then force a trade and get what he want by me making a trade with L.A. so he can go and play with his buddy, LeBron James. No, 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 no. He's not going where he wants to go. He's going to go where I want to send him. He's going to be in my group the best option. I want a bunch of few picks. I think he got some first-round picks, some second-round picks from Mark Cuban and the Mavericks. And he got a couple players, Dinwiddie, Finney Smith, some role players that can fit in, I'm assuming can fit in good around KD, Ben Simmons, and Seth Curry. So we'll see what happens there. They can definitely rebuild next year, next year, year after next, however those picks in the draft go, they got some pieces, they can put some pieces in place around Kevin Durant. However, I don't think Kevin Durant will be in Brooklyn next year. I think he'll probably be in L.A. with LeBron James, or at least in L.A. with Kawhi Leonard. I think something's going to happen. I think Kevin Durant is L.A. bound. Kevin Durant is L.A. bound. He's done the Bay Area. He conquered that. I think it's time for him to come to Southern California with either the Clippers or the Lakers. I think something is going to be brewing, if it ain't brewing before the trade deadline. Kevin Durant may try to force his way out. You know, Kevin Durant, you know, if he's not happy, you know, KD, if KD ain't happy, you know, give me out of here. He already done it before. He already told, pretty much let Josiah them know before, if you guys can't keep this thing stable around me and it's not to my liking, I'll force a trade. Now, I mean, this is crazy, because I felt like once they kind of got KD on board with everything, I felt like that, okay, you know, new season, no COVID protocols and all this stuff. Kyrie Irving, you know, it's back. He's out the media with this anti-Semitic stuff that they had him, you know, dealing with. That's all over. That's done. And they were currently, if I'm correct, third place in the East. Third place in the East. So I'm just like, it's working out there in Brooklyn. They're playing good basketball. You know, even though the media experts are saying Ben Simmons needs to give them more. Ben Simmons needs to get them more. But whatever was going on is working. It was working for them. They're third in the East. Now, all of a sudden, trade deadline come. Josiah don't want to give Kyrie Irving stability in his career, in his financial career, his financial portfolio. Josiah doesn't want to give Kyrie that financial peace of mind to make sure his financial portfolio is set for the next few years. Josiah didn't want to do that. What Josiah wanted to do was say, no, based on your antics, based on the COVID-19 situation, based on, you know, how sometimes you just want to go off and do your own thing and get your mind right for personal reasons, be away from the team for personal reasons, all these different things. I guess Josiah said, I'm not going to risk a lot of capital on you. I'm going to play this thing out, and we'll sit back down at a later date after the season, and we'll talk about where we're going to go. But right now, I can't offer you that extended contract that you want because you may switch up on me again. I don't know, Kyrie. I don't trust you. I'm afraid you're going to switch up again. So, you know, that I believe that this is – I don't have any facts on all this stuff, people, but this is coming from the media experts. All I'm saying is that Josiah right now seems to me, based on what the media experts are saying, this is not factual. I'm not in the front office of the Brooklyn Nets or the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm not in the locker room with Kyrie Irving nor in his home to hear what's actually going on. But based on what the media experts are saying, they're saying that Josiah did not trust Kyrie Irving enough to give him a long-term extended contract. So Kyrie Irving said, hey, get me out of here. You don't want to give me what I want, just get me out of here. Mark Cuban put an offer on the table along with other, I guess about, I think they said about three or four other teams threw some numbers out there, threw some offers out there. They put together some packages, some decent packages for the Brooklyn Nets to look at so they could acquire the rights to one such Kyrie Irving. Now, with that being said, Josiah's like, the days of these guys coming to me forcing my hand to trade them and then have the nerd want me to trade them to where they want to go as if I owe them something, those days are over with. Those days are over. So guess what? This is what's going to happen. You're going to go where I want to send you, and I'm going to sell you down south. I'm selling you down south. Mark Cuban gave me a good package. You're not going to L.A., Kyrie. You're going to the DFW. You're going to go down south and play in Dallas. And let's be honest, Dallas is a great city. I've been there. I've lived out there. I lived in Fort Worth, Texas for right about a year. Got family and friends there right now. My brother is there. My nephews are there. My sister was living there, rest her soul. She passed away from COVID-19 about 2 years ago, but she was living in Dallas, Fort Worth. My brother-in-law was living in Dallas, Fort Worth, meaning my sister's husband. He passed away, rest his soul. He passed away the year before COVID-19. So I have family there. My best friend is there. My brother is there. Dallas is a great city. The DFW Metroplex is a great, exciting place. I lived in Fort Worth. I've seen the Dallas Cowboys Stadium go up in Arlington. I've seen it going up. Jerry World, I saw it being constructed. So I'm not saying that Dallas is, the DFW is like a, is like you going to Utah. That's not what I'm saying. But all I'm saying is that Dallas, Fort Worth, the DFW Metroplex ain't Hollywood. It ain't L.A. Kyrie wants to be back with LeBron James in L.A. But guess what, people? I said no. The front office of the Brooklyn Nets, who had the rights to Kyrie Irving, said, no, you're going to go where I want to send you. And I'm selling you down south. So anyway, I already broke down what selling you down south means. He pulled one of those. I'm just using this analogy because it's Black History Month. And I'm just, you know, giving you a little bit of Black history. I told you what selling you down south meant. And that's basically what happened to Kyrie Irving. He got sold down south. So he's down south. He's not where he wants to be at with the L.A. Lakers. Because, I mean, if you would have put Kyrie Irving, AD getting back healthy, Russell Westbrook coming off the bench, and then you got a LeBron James, who's about to break in the next game or two or three, going to be breaking the scoring record, breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record that stood tall for, I believe, 34 years. They could have actually definitely come at least got into the play-in tournament. If not, the seventh seed, I believe. They could have probably won enough games and got them in the seventh seed, but definitely they could have been a play-in tournament contender. Now, without that trade being made for Kyrie, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the only thing that the Lakers got to look forward to is the scoring title. However, they're talking about still, you know, putting together a package, a nice package to move Russell Westbrook. They're trying to see what they can get for Russell. They can get something for him because Russell's been playing good in that six-man role. He's probably going to get the six-man of the year more than likely. Really don't think it's fair to include Russ in that conversation. I don't think it's fair to consider him in that conversation just because, you know, I mean, this guy's a starter. This guy's he's a starter. He's been a league MVP, and to make him then to put him in the conversation, taking that award away from somebody who probably can't get on the court and be a starter, but has to come off the bench, but is close to being a starter. I think that it should go to somebody like that because Russell Westbrook has already won a league MVP. He's won an NBA league MVP already, if I'm remembering right. So, you know, but anyway, if they want to give it to him, he deserves it. Don't get me wrong, but it's just like, you know, you're trying to give him an award for somebody who normally wouldn't be a starter, but comes off the bench with a spark, like a, you know, like a, who is that, Damian Harrell, somebody like him, or somebody like a Jamal Crawford back in the day, not too far back in the day, but a few years back, Jamal Crawford was that type of player that could come off the bench and just give you a spark. That's what we call him the Matrix. You know, that's why his nickname was the Matrix. If he'd come in and just change the complexity of a game, just like that, coming off the bench. He was just one of those guys. And you could always argue, why is he not starting? But I guess for some reason they say he wasn't the best in a starting role, but bringing him off the bench, he came off with that energy that you needed. And that worked for him. He had a great career doing that. And I believe he was also with my L.A. Clippers at the time, you know, also with the L.A. Clippers, you know. So, you know, I love everything. San Diego, and they were formerly here in San Diego before they became the L.A. Clippers. But anyway, Jamal Crawford was that type of player, that type of guy. Damian Harrell also was with the Clippers at one time. I forgot who he's with now. He might be. I don't think he's with the Lakers. I forgot who he's with. But anyway, I think he's in Philly now. Damian Harrell, I think he's in Philly now with Doc Rivers. But anyway, he's a six man. I think he won the six man before when they were in the bubble. So Russell Westbrook, you can get something for him because he is, you know, he has been playing well. He has been playing well overall. I mean, he still has his bad games, still has his mistakes, but nobody's 100%. But you definitely still can get something for Russell Westbrook, and he's definitely effective. But if they had brought Kyrie Irving over right now, kept Russell Westbrook, well, they could have kept him, kept Russell, traded Russ, it didn't matter. But let's just say since they kept Russ coming off the bench, brought in Kyrie Irving, healthy AD, and then you got LeBron James, who's, like I said, about to break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 34-year scoring record. You know, I've definitely seen them being a seventh seed or a possible eighth seed. You know, in that whole mix of the playing tournament. So, you know, interesting news this morning. You know, I mean, breaking news. You know, Kyrie Irving has been sold down south to Mark Cuban, and the Dallas Mavericks. Sold down south to Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks. And I'm saying it by like saying Josiah sold him down south is because he didn't give Kyrie Irving what Kyrie Irving wanted. Kyrie Irving forced a trade. I believe that was Friday. I looked up on TV Friday, you know, and I was on a little mini vacation. Friday, I look up, and I'm on the monitor. They're talking about, oh, Kyrie Irving is requesting the trade before the trade deadline. He wants out of Brooklyn. And I'm the first person I thought about when they said this was KD. I thought about KD. And I said, dang, man, you know, KD went on and cooled his jets and stayed in Brooklyn, even though they didn't fire Steve Nash like he asked. KD finally cooled his jets and said, all right, I'm gonna just go ahead and stay. Across the monitor, they're saying on report, Kyrie Irving traded to the Mavs for Finney Smith, Dinwiddie, and draft picks. Give the Mavs a legit chance to win the West with Kyrie and Luka backcourt. Like I said earlier, that can definitely work, because now the Dallas Mavericks have something to compete against with the Denver Nuggets. You got Kyrie versus Jamal Murray, and you got Jokic versus Luka Doncic. So I think that's going to be probably your Western Conference final. The West is an unsteady place. It's unstable in the West because you got a lot of contenders in the West, including the champs, the returning champs, Golden State Warriors. They're still in the mix. I believe, if I'm remembering right, they won the other night, if I'm remembering correct. I can't remember the end of the game, but I did know I was watching it in the midst of me trying to flip some meat on the grill. But anyway, the West is an unstable place, the wild, wild West. And now we got Blazing Saddles in the West. Blazing Saddles meaning you got Kyrie Irving that teamed up with Luka Doncic in the West. Kyrie Irving is in the DFW, if I'm correct, as we speak. He's supposed to be playing his first game Wednesday night against the Clippers. So tomorrow it'll probably be a chemistry day. It'll be a chemistry day on Tuesday, trying to just get a feel for Luka Doncic, get a feel for being on the court with the team. Me myself, I would set him out for about three games. I wouldn't play Kyrie for three games. I just kind of like let him look around, and just let him get a feel. For the offense that we run, get a feel for the defense that we run. And so, you know, when it all comes down to it, I would just let Kyrie Irving get comfortable with his new team. But if I know basketball, if I know pro basketball, they're going to be like, hey, basketball's basketball, man. Just get on the court and start playing. Feel your chemistry in game, because we need you now. We need to keep winning. We need to keep winning going into the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, continue to win. But Josiah in the Brooklyn Nets front office have sold Kyrie Irving down south. They didn't send him west. They sold him down south. And they sold him down south because Josiah, based on what the media experts were saying, is that he's sending a message. And the message that he's sending, from my understanding, is that you guys are not going to keep coming in this office acting like you got all the power. I still own this team or own a big percentage of this team. I believe the Brooklyn Nets have an ownership group, and Josiah might have the majority or a good piece of the majority of the stock, you know. So that's why we probably hear his name come up a lot. I think somebody else's name comes up in the conversation. The general manager, I think Sean Marks or somebody like that. I think that's his name. But you can call into the show and correct me at 515-602-9687. Again, if you'd like to call into the show, call in 515-602-9687. For those of you just tuning in, the topic for today is Blazing Saddles in the West. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding a big trade between the East and West and the NBA before the trade deadline. Topics to be discussed but not limited to will be the Brooklyn Nets, Dallas Mavericks, NHL All-Star results, NCAA men's and women's scores, and breaking news from the NFL and Major League Baseball. Time on deck is 8:29 a.m. It is, again, February 6th, and the and it is 51 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. It's 51 degrees Fahrenheit sunny here in San Diego, California. while I'm thinking about it, y'all keep a prayer wheel turning in your heart for all the people that's getting bad weather back east, back in the east, the southeast, back up north. They got this polar vortex winter storm going through there. I think some parts are starting to thaw out a little bit, but at the same time, you know, it's bad weather up in the north, back in the east and the southeast. Keep a prayer wheel turning in your heart for those people. We out here in San Diego, we got a little rain yesterday, but the little rain that we get is we're not going to complain about it because, again, it is sunny out here today, 51 degrees Fahrenheit. That ain't too bad. That's a nice winter day for us. But anyway, back to our topic, Blazing Saddles in the West. Again, if you'd like to call in and correct the host or debate the host on this topic of Kyrie Irving getting sold down south to the Dallas Mavericks, Josiah and the Brooklyn Nets front office made a deal with Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks front office, and they made a deal. You know, the Dallas Mavericks are going to give away some picks. Finney Smith and Dinwiddie are going to Brooklyn, and then Kyrie Irving will be received by the Dallas Mavericks to team up with Luka Doncic. Now the Dallas duo can compete against the Denver duo in the West. And I think the Western Conference Finals breaks down like this. If Kyrie stays, if he stays personally stable and goes out there and compete like he's been competing and being available like he's been available here recently in Brooklyn. If he does the same thing in Dallas with Luka Doncic, excuse me, if he does the same thing in Dallas with Luka Doncic, who everyone knows is a mega star, is going to be a Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. Going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, Luka Doncic. Him and Kyrie Irving, that's deadly. If Kyrie can just get along with him and trust the process in Dallas and add to what they've already built upon. Now, the role players are going to have to step up because I believe Finney Smith and Dinwiddie were some good, solid role players around Luka, but they have to let that go. You got to let something go to get a mega star and a mega talent in like Kyrie Irving, who can put the ball in the hole. So I think it's a good trade for Dallas, definitely. Now, as far as a good trade for Brooklyn, I think Brooklyn's toast. And I think in a minute you're going to be seeing KD saying, get me out of here. I don't expect Kevin Durant to try to play the rest of the season with this team. But the fact that he asked for a trade in the offseason, he didn't get the trade. Now, he kept telling them, hey, you guys are going to have to go ahead on and make Kyrie happy too, because I can't stay here if Kyrie is on the fence about playing. Get me out of here. Okay. They finally got Ben Simmons, got him somewhat going. Again, he's effective. Then, as soon as you get him effective, Kyrie is out the door. So what do y'all want KD to do? What do you want KD to do? Just stand there and keep taking this stuff? This man, he can't catch a break in Brooklyn. We're talking about Kyrie Irving. We're talking about the front offices, you know, Mark Cuban and Josiah. We're talking about all this. But is anybody asking about KD? What's going on with KD? How do y'all think he feels? I would love you to call into the show and talk to me about it. But I want to know what your thoughts on Kevin Durant is. I want to know what your thoughts is this morning about, do you think Kevin Durant is about to force a trade? Is he going to get back to where he was this offseason just saying, you know what, I ain't got no team, I ain't got nobody. Y'all need to just blow this thing up, get me out of here, blow this thing up, get something for me, and just blow this thing up. I'm out of here. Or is Josiah going to say, you're not going to L.A., Kevin. I already know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get to California. You're probably trying to get to L.A. and team up with Kawhi Leonard 9 times out of 10. And eight times out of 10, you're probably trying to get to L.A. and consider teaming up with LeBron James. And, again, helping them get into a play-in tournament position, or at least in the seventh seed position. It can happen with KD and LeBron and AD. That can happen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It can happen. So it's going to be some interesting things going on in Brooklyn. I don't think Josiah is done trying to sell people down south. I think that if Kevin Durant comes in there and says, you know what, man, I'm out of here. You could possibly see Kevin Durant in San Antonio. You could possibly see Kevin Durant. You heard it here first. You could possibly see Kevin Durant. One such Kevin Durant is possibly going to be, if he forces his hand, he'll be down in San Antonio, Texas. And I think the Spurs might have. Do they have like a? I think they're gonna be some of the first teams picking in the draft because they're not that good, if I'm correct. They're not that good. They haven't been that good in some years. You could possibly see Josiah making another sale down south, getting with, you know, talking things over Greg Popovich and the front office over there, and Kevin Durant, if he comes in that office and say, "Man, I'm out of here. I'm out. I'm not playing anymore this season. I'm out." I could see Kevin Durant pulling the AD when he's with the New Orleans Pelicans. We just said, I'm not going to make myself available. I'm not going to play. I'm injured. I'm just not going to play. I want out of here. I ain't happy. And he just sat out, didn't play until he wanted to go out there and show people that he was healthy enough to be traded for or whatever. Or being picked up in free agency, whatever came first. He showcased every now and then, you know, maybe playing every once every 2 weeks just to show people, hey, I'm still the guy, but I'm just out. I ain't happy here, so I'm not going to get him all my services. I'm not going to make myself available. Yeah, I mean, this is some crazy stuff here. This is some crazy stuff. But I feel like that if Kevin Durant comes in today, goes into Josiah's office and says, I'm out. Y'all didn't give Kyrie the extension. You didn't trade the coach. You didn't get a new coach, but you wind up firing him anyway, which I told you, we could already had a better coach in here in the beginning of the season. We didn't have to wait till Steve Nash got fired. Okay, you guys wind up going ahead picking Jock Vaughn as the interim. Then you made him the full-time coach. Everything's been working. All y'all had to do was go ahead and make Kyrie happy. Give him an extended contract. Josiah, you said, no, I want out. Josiah probably going to look at him and say, okay, no problem. I'm not going to go for this. You want out? You've been wanting out in the offseason. This was the, you know, we just waiting. We both was at a stalemate, you know. So it's like, you know, I wasn't trading you. You wasn't getting traded. I was just going to let you just sit. But you decided to go ahead and play. Now you're back in the office again talking about you want to trade. People, I wouldn't be surprised if this thing is playing out how I'm saying it. I'm not 100% correct, but I wouldn't be surprised about how I'm seeing it. I'm being honest with you. I feel like Kevin Durant is probably at his wit's end with this organization. And now that it ain't even the trade deadline, get something for me. And what's probably going to happen is he's probably going to say, make a deal with LeBron James and the Lakers, or make a deal with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and the Clippers. That's a winning combination no matter how you look, because the Clippers probably can unload a lot of stuff on the bench. Man, Wall, they could probably figure out a way to unload a lot of pieces that they got and bring in. They could probably get rid of Zubac, bring in KD. Then you have KD, AD. You have KD, Paul George, and Kawhi, and that'll be the big three for the Clippers. If that don't work out, he can go to the Lakers with LeBron James and AD, and then they can get rid of Westbrook, Beverly, Bryant, and some other pieces they got on the bench, like Scottie Pippen Jr., who's going to be an up and comer. They can put him in the pack. He's going to be, you know, his dad, Scottie Pippen. And I believe they're saying that kid can play. They're saying he can play because I think at one time they were saying that he should be, you know, getting more minutes or getting some of Westbrook's minutes, something like that. But they can put together something 9 times out of 10 for either the Clippers or the Lakers to get KD in L.A., get him in Hollywood. But if I know Josiah, he's going to say, the way I'm seeing this play out, like when KD wanted out in the summertime, Josiah said no. When he said, if you can't let me out of this, you better fire the coach. He said no. You guys wanted Steve Nash here. You and Kyrie wanted to do your own thing. You, Kyrie, and James Harden at the time wanted to do your own thing and bring in Steve Nash because Steve Nash would kind of like just get out the way and let y'all run the show and just be an advisor as a coach. Let y'all coach the team and you know, and they say Kyrie Irving was running his own practices after practice. All this is crazy stuff. So Josiah was like, no, you guys wanted this. Y'all pulled a power move, a boss move. Y'all wanted this coach. And now that this thing is not working due to injuries or whatever the case may be, injuries, mindset of one such, Kyrie Irving, COVID-19, then protesting that with one such, Kyrie Irving, all then enforcing James Harden to say, just get me out of here. Okay, they make the trade, bring in Ben Simmons. You know, Ben Simmons, you know, wasn't whole yet. He wasn't ready to be that guy. He wasn't ready to step up and be the guy. Yeah, went through some mental adversity in Philadelphia. But anyway, now we come to this season, finally get Kyrie back on the court. Then we run into this anti-Semitic thing. He gets suspended. Then they get him back. They've been winning their third place in the East, if I'm correct. Then what they do? They don't offer him the extended deal. And that was one of the concerns, if I'm correct, that KD had. That was one of the concerns that Kevin Durant had this offseason about, yeah, are you guys going to be offering Kyrie Irving a long-term extension? Because if you're not going to do it, then go ahead and trade me. I'm not playing by myself. That's not why I came here. So 9 times out of 10, Kevin Durant, I can see it happening before the day's end. Kevin Durant will be barking, saying, I want a trade. Give me a trade. Get me out of here before the trade deadline. Or I'm not going to play the rest of the season or something like that. He's probably going to force his hand. Because he don't have – Ben Simmons is still getting back to form, although he's been effective. But without a Kyrie Irving, what is KD going to be doing with a KD getting back to form? You bring it over Dinwiddie, and I think I heard something saying that KD and Dinwiddie had some kind of complicated relationship previously, because I think Dinwiddie might have been with Brooklyn before, if I'm correct. Call into the show and correct me if I'm wrong. But I think I heard that across the monitor, that Dinwiddie and Durant didn't really have a great relationship, but they could probably make it work. Then you got to figure, then they're bringing over Finney Smith. Now, these guys were supporting Luka in Dallas. So I'm not saying they can't do the same thing around Kevin Durant, but I'm just saying, you know, they let go a mega star to get picks for next year. Over the next two seasons, they let Kyrie Irving go to rebuild. Kevin Durant never said he wanted to be doing a rebuild. He said he wanted to win. So I'm just kind of like trying to figure out how this thing is gonna play out. How is it gonna look? But anyway, with that being said, we're gonna go off into a music mix so I can give me a little water to wet my throat. If you just tune in, you're listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show with your host Romero Ferran, aka the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Time on deck is 8:44 a.m. and it is 51 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny here in San Diego, California. We're gonna get off into our music mix and then we'll be back. Show. We're going to get off into a couple of scores from over the weekend in the NBA action. All right, we got the Brooklyn Nets 125, Wizards 123. Brooklyn Nets 125, Wizards 123. Then we got the New Orleans Pelicans 131, Los Angeles Lakers 126. Again, New Orleans Pelicans 131, Lakers 126. We got the Phoenix Suns 116 over the Detroit Pistons 100. Again, the Phoenix Suns 116 over the Detroit Pistons 100. We have the Los Angeles Clippers 134 over the New York Knicks 128. Again, we have the Los Angeles Clippers 134 over the New York Knicks 128. We have the, the Chicago Bulls 129 over the Portland Trail Blazers 121. Chicago Bulls 129 over the Portland Trail Blazers 121. Damian Lillard had a 40-point game in that one. Zach LaVine had a 36-point game. Both of those gentlemen had a great game for their respective teams. We have the Bucks 123 over the Heat 115. Bucks 123, Heat 115. Giannis had 35 points. Butler had 32 points. Both of those gentlemen had good games for their respective teams. Again, the Milwaukee Bucks 123 over the Miami Heat 115. The Oklahoma City Thunder 153 over the Houston Rockets 121. Oklahoma City Thunder 153 over the Rockets, Houston Rockets 121. There was a beatdown. There was a 30-point win. They put up a buck 50 on the Rockets, and that puts the Thunder at 25 or 27. Two games outside of 500. They just need two more games, and they'll be at 500 going into the All-Star break. SGA, 42 points. Gilgeous-Alexander, 42 points. Then we have the Golden State Warriors, 119 over the Dallas Mavericks, 113. Golden State Warriors, 119 over the Dallas Mavericks, 113. And we had Dinwiddie, 25 points, and Steph Curry, 21 points. Well, like we've been talking about this morning, that 119-13 victory for the Warriors may not have went that way if the Mavericks and Luka Doncic had already teamed up. I think Kyrie Irving is going to easily add another seven or eight points or so to a score like this. So they could, I think, if they had Kyrie Irving, the Mavericks could have beat them if they could have got already had acquired Kyrie Irving. Well, they looked like they had acquired him, but well, he had asked for a trade. I don't know if they had acquired him on Saturday. I don't think that happened until maybe sometime Saturday. But however it goes, I think Kyrie Irving could have helped the Dallas Mavericks pull out that win over the Golden State Warriors, because I know Kyrie Irving, in my pro armchair quarterback expertise, I think Kyrie Irving could have added another 7 points to squeak out that win over the Golden State Warriors. But anyway, nevertheless, the Golden State Warriors defeated the Dallas Mavericks 119-113. What else we got here in NBA action? We got last score for you. The Denver Nuggets 128 over the Hawks 108. Denver Nuggets 37-16 currently. 128 over the Hawks 108. The Hawks are currently sitting at 500. DeJounte Murray 28 points. Jamal Murray 41 points. See, that's what that's what we were speaking of earlier, everybody. If you had caught the show from the beginning, is that Jamal Murray and Jokic, you know, they're, in my opinion, going to the Western Conference Finals. And I hate to say that because I want my New Orleans Pelicans there, but with Zion Williams being hurt and don't know when he's getting back, that's going to be tough for us. Then the LA Clippers, you know, Kawhi Leonard, just really getting back, still getting into form on a consistent basis. That's kind of up in the air how that's going to work out. So I just see that the Nuggets, they're stable. They got Jamal Murray coming back to form. Look at him, 41.7 assists. Him and Luka. And that's what I was saying when you come out talking about the Dallas Mavericks, who are currently sitting at two games above 500, 28-26. And they lost one against a 27-26 record Golden State Warrior. So both of them right now are really playing right about 500 basketball. One team is one game above 500, Golden State Warriors. Then one team is two games above 500 in the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic. Now you're adding Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks. I think that's going to definitely – the Kyrie Irving – and the Luka Doncic together, that's definitely a team that could be in the NBA Finals, not NBA Finals, but the Western Conference Finals. Western Conference Finals against the Denver Nuggets. I see the Denver Nuggets and the Dallas Mavericks, if everything goes right with Kyrie Irving gelling with Luka Doncic and gelling with the opportunity, I see that being the Western Conference Finals. And who will take it out of the Nuggets and the Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals? I dare to say, I don't even know. I won't make a prediction because it's kind of too early, because I got to see what Kyrie Irving is going to do in Dallas. If he's going to jail, if him and Luka Doncic are going to get along, if they're going to share the ball, I got to see the whole dynamics of how this thing plays out with the Dallas Mavericks bringing on Kyrie Irving and how he gels with Luka Doncic. Now, if they gel right, how Jamal Murray and Jokic gels, I couldn't even make a prediction in a Western Conference matchup before those two. I'm predicting it will be the Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. So, anyway, that's all my scores for the NBA. I've seen some stuff coming across the monitor a minute ago about Kevin Durant. I'm just trying to get a I'm just trying to gauge where Kevin Durant's head is right now with all this stuff. Now he again is left stuck out. They got, you know, Harden forced a trade. He got his trade. Kyrie Irving, I think, was going through some personal stuff. Wasn't available. They left Durant there that first year by himself again. And then I forgot how I went the first year. But it's just been up and down. I'm just trying to figure out how does KD feel about all these trades, and then they blocked his trade. He wouldn't even have to deal with none of this if Josiah would have just let him go somewhere else. But Josiah said, no, you're here. We'll work it out. We'll let this play out. And if you don't want to play, we'll just let you sit at home. Just sit at home and get your check. But you're not going anywhere until you decide you want to play for us. Kevin Durant, like he always says, I just want a ball. I just want to hoop. I love ball. I love hooping. So Kevin Durant, loving the ball, loving the hoop, went on to just say, hey, I'm just going to go on to play and see where it takes us. Now here we go again. Here we go again. Kyrie Irving, I'm out of here. If y'all can't give me a long-term contract, Kyrie's out of here. And I think Kevin Durant was trying to address this in the offseason, saying that what's the status going to be with Kyrie? If y'all know he want a long-term deal, if y'all can't give him a long-term deal, then he's going to want to be out of here again. So I guess Josiah then was saying, let's just sell him on the fact that we're going to be contenders, and let's just play it out after the offseason. I guess being third place in the East wasn't good enough for Kyrie Irving. He said, without my money, without my long-term deal, I proved enough to you guys. And without my long-term deal, just send me to L.A. Just send me to L.A. I'm going to go back and play and ball with LeBron James and see if me and him can make magic again. I'm going to go back out there. Me and him going to see what we can do. And then it's been said that the Lakers had a package just to send two first-round picks and Russell Westbrook to the Brooklyn Nets, which would have put Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook back together to make magic. Although they had their issues, I know that those two have been to the Western Conference Finals a couple times. They made magic, both of them MVPs. Both of those guys are league MVPs, so they could have made something work. But Josiah said no. And it wasn't the fact that Josiah was saying no because that couldn't have worked for them. Yeah, they could have brought over Russ and got two first-round picks in the summertime in the draft. They could have worked out. If not this year, definitely could have worked out for next year. But I think that they still could have been, you know, above the seventh or the eighth, that seventh seed and above. I think with Westbrook and Durant, I don't think they would have dropped all the way down to the play-in tournament. I think that they'd still been just like they were in Oklahoma City. You know, just like they were in Oklahoma City. And then, you know, whatever other pieces they could have got around that, you know, it still could have worked out for them being a seventh seed and above. And they probably could have stuck at the third seed in the East. But, you know, right now they're saying an offer was put on the table to Josiah from Jeannie Buss and the Lakers, saying that, you know, we'll give you guys two first-round picks, and we'll give you Russ. And y'all know the chemistry between Russ and Kevin Durant, it has worked before. It might have been a little shaky, but it has worked before. So I don't think that Josiah taking that deal would have hurt their opportunities to be contenders in the East. But what people got to understand is the media experts are saying that Josiah could have took that deal. And they're asking across the monitor right now, what's next for KD? The monitor is even right where I'm at. What's next for KD? You know, that's what I want to know. But Josiah turned that deal down with Jeannie Buss because that's where Kyrie wanted to go. That's those type of deals where LeBron James is flexing his muscle. Get me Kyrie Irving. get me Kyrie Irving over here so we can try to make a run. And Josiah's probably just like, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of these players. Now, I ain't in Josiah's head, but I can imagine he's probably like, I'm sick of these players having all this power. They can just come in my office and just tell me what they're going to do. Or if I don't do this or do that there, then they'll threaten me. I'll just sit out. I won't play. Or just send me somewhere else. I'm going to be a problem. All this stuff. And I guess, you know, it has gotten to a point that Josiah's like, no, I'm going to trade you. But guess who I'm going to trade you to? I'm selling you down south to my good friend Mark Cuban. You're going to play in the south. I'm going to send you down to the country. You're not going to La La Land. I'm going to send you down south to the country. You can learn how to ride horseback down south. You can learn how to ranch cattle down south in the DFW. You can learn how to dig oil wells or whatever you want to do down south. I'm not sending you to a terrible place, but you ain't going to L.A. But don't get me wrong, people. I love Texas. Love down south. Love the DFW. I live there. Love it down there. I live there. I got family and friends there. So he's going to a market, a good sports market. I mean, the Mavericks, the Cowboys, you know, you got Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. You got Luka Doncic and the Mavs. I mean, he's going to a good sports media market. And Luka Doncic is a winner, a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now you put Kyrie with him, that's a winning tandem if they can make that work, based on where Kyrie's mindset is going to be when he gets there. So all I'm trying to say is this. Josiah gave him the trade. But Josiah also said, you're not going where you want to go. I got to get some kind of satisfaction out of this. So he sold him down south. You're not going west. I'm selling you down south. And I explained to y'all gave y'all a Black History moment on selling, getting sold down south, what that means. It is the top of the hour, and I'm going to take a moment to go off into a music mix again so I can take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back here and try to shed a little Black History moment for a brief minute. Speaking of getting sold down south, I referred that to a book. I got that reference from a book written by Frederick Douglass. And I will talk a little bit about Frederick Douglass and his efforts for the African-American population pre-Emancipation Proclamation. So we'll get off into a little bit of that when we come back, just out of respect for Black History Month. And try to get some news and everything over the social media, sports and entertainment news in here to you, and read off some more scores from NCAA men's and women's sports and go from there. So thanks to everybody that's tuning in and everything. We're almost to 700 streams and downloads. So I want to say thank you to all the pro armchair quarterbacks that listen to the show and download the show and tell people about the show. I greatly appreciate it. And so we'll be back. Again, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And we'll be right back. Yes, yes. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Our topic for today is Blazing Saddles in the West. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the big trade between the East and West in the NBA before the trade deadline. We already talked about that, the big trade that went on between the Brooklyn Nets and the Dallas Mavericks. Now let's get off into some NCAA men's and women's basketball scores. So let's start off with the NCAA men's scores. What we have here, let's go to Saturday. Try to get the Saturday scores up for men's top 25 basketball scores. All right, we had Indiana ranked number 21, Indiana 79 over ranked number one, Purdue 74. That's from Saturday. Indiana 79, Purdue 74. We had ranked number 21, Indiana defeating number one, Purdue in NCAA men's action. And we also had number two, Tennessee, 46. Number 25, Auburn, 43. Number two, Tennessee, 46. Number 25, Auburn, 43. Tennessee defeats Auburn, 46-43. Again, Tennessee beats Auburn, 46-43. We had ranked number four, Alabama, 79. Over LSU, 69. Ranked number four, Alabama, 79. LSU, 69. And we had number five, Arizona, 84 over Oregon State, 52. Number five, Arizona over Oregon State, 52. We had number six, Virginia. They lost to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, 74. Virginia, 68. Virginia Tech defeated ranked number six, Virginia, 74-68. Again, Virginia Tech over Virginia, 74-68. I think they call that the Commonwealth Classic or something like that. Then we got ranked number 10, Texas. They defeated ranked number seven, Kansas State, 69-66. Ranked number 10, Texas, 69. Ranked number seven, Kansas State, 66. Texas over Kansas State, 69-66. Texas wins. Then we got number 13, Iowa State, 68. Over number eight, Kansas, 53 in men's NCAA action, NCAA basketball action, top 25. We got number 13 again, Iowa State, 68. Over number eight, Kansas, 53. Iowa State, 68. Kansas, 53. Iowa State takes that one. Then we have ranked number nine, UCLA, 76. Over Washington State, 52. Ranked number nine, UCLA, 76. Over Washington State, 52. That's in some Pac-12 action. We also have number 11, Baylor, 89. Over Texas Tech, 62. Number 11, Baylor, 89, over Texas Tech, 62. We also have number 18, St. Mary's, 78, over number 12, Gonzaga, 70. St. Mary's defeat Gonzaga, 78-70. Again, number 18, St. Mary's, 78, over number 12, Gonzaga, 70, in NCAA men's action. That's West Coast Conference. We also had number 14, Marquette, 60, over Butler, 52. I saw some of that game. Number 14, Marquette, 60, over Butler, 52. Marquette takes that one. And we also have Oklahoma State, 79, over number 15, TCU, 73. Oklahoma State defeats number 15, TCU, 79-63. Again, Oklahoma State, 79, TCU, 73. We have also in NCAA men's action, we have number 16, Xavier, 96 over St. John, 71. Number 16, Xavier, 96 over St. John, 71. What else we got? Got a couple more scores for the men's for you. We have number 19, Florida Atlantic, 67 over Charlotte, 52. And some Conference USA action. Number 19, Florida Atlantic, 67 over Charlotte, 52. Then we got in ACC action, number 23, Miami, 78, defeats number 20, Clemson, 74. Again, number 23, Miami, 78. They defeat Clemson, number 20, Clemson, 74. Miami wins 78-74 over Clemson in ACC action. And we also have in Big East action for NCAA men's top 25 scores. We have number 24, UConn, 68 over Georgetown, 62. Number 24, UConn, 68, defeats Georgetown, 62. UConn wins that one 68-62 over Georgetown. All right. Yeah, we big news today, like I said, you know, everybody's kind of like wondering now what's the status of KD. I'm asking myself the same question in NBA, segueing over the NBA news. Again, Kyrie Irving has been sold down south to the Dallas Mavericks. Looks like he was hoping to get to L.A. An offer was made. It has been revealed to me that an offer was made to the New York Knicks, Josiah, by Jeannie Buss. An offer was made to give up two first-round picks and Russell Westbrook to bring Kyrie Irving over to the L.A. Lakers. Josiah said no. And the word I'm getting is that Josiah said no because he said, I'm not trading Kyrie Irving to L.A. I'll send him anywhere but L.A. He can go play anywhere else, but he's not going to L.A. And I believe he done that because he said, I want to show Kyrie Irving that he does not have all power. I still have rights to him. The Brooklyn Nets organization still has rights to him, and he's forcing my hand to trade him. So guess what? You're going to go where I want you to go. I got a deal down south with Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks organization. So we're going to take that deal. You're not going to be able to make your way to the West this year. And if you do, it's going to be that'll be handled when you get to Dallas. It won't be handled here in New York. You'll work your way west from down south. Right now, you're being sold down south. And across the monitor, they're saying reports. KD surprised by Kyrie trade request. Moves to the Mavericks. Expectations for Kevin Durant after the Kyrie Irving trade. They're asking. They say in the report is KD was surprised by the Kyrie trade request and moving to the Mavericks. And people want to know what are the media experts are asking. What are the expectations for Kevin Durant after the Kyrie Irving trade? I already said that earlier, people. He's going to force his hand to be traded. It'll probably be coming out later today that Kevin Durant's going to ask Josiah to let me out of here. He said, I asked y'all to trade me in the offseason. I went on, folded, and stayed here. But now, since y'all didn't give Kyrie Irving the long-term extension that he asked for, I'm out of here. And if they don't trade KD, I see KD saying, hey, I'm injured. I'm sitting out. I'm not playing anymore. I think he'll pull up Anthony Davis when he was with the New Orleans Pelicans and just say, you know what? Hey, I'm out of here. And I think that what he's going to be eyeing an opportunity to go somewhere west. It could be maybe the Phoenix Suns playing with DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. You know, Chris Paul's is aging. He's still around, but, you know, he might want to go there and finish up with Chris Paul and play down there in Phoenix. But I really see him trying to make a move for L.A., either the Clippers or the Lakers. I see this happening. I think before the day is over, KD will be saying, get me out of here. I want out of Brooklyn. This did not work out how I needed it to work. Get me out of here. I mean, it's a lot of stuff going on, you know. Josiah, he showed yesterday that he had the power, though. He showed by blocking that. He had a deal on the table. All he had to do was sign off on it and send Kyrie where he wanted to go. But I guess Josiah said, I don't owe Kyrie nothing. We gave him everything that he wanted. Gave him the coach he wanted. You know, made things work out so he could play with James Harden and Kevin Durant. We gave him everything he wanted, only to get back in return, oh, I'm away from the team on some personal stuff, on a personal journey I got going on. Then the COVID-19, hey, man, just take the shot so you can play. He could only play at home games. He couldn't go on the road. He could only play on road games. I don't think he could play at home. He couldn't play at home because New York had the stipulation that he had to take the shot, so he couldn't even play at home. He had to play all road games. Then we go into the playoffs, the same thing. He couldn't play home playoff games. He had to play on the road games. Oh, this is kind of crazy stuff. I'm not knocking Kyrie. Those are his stances, you know. Then the situation where he said that they were saying something about he commented on the movie. They were trying to say that he was anti-Semitic. Then he got suspended. So KD got through all of this stuff, along with Josiah. Josiah got through all these things with Kyrie Irving, and that's why Josiah was like, I don't owe Kyrie Irving anything. I don't owe him nothing. The deal was given to him from Jeannie Buss and the Lakers front office, Rob Pelinka and all of them. They put together a package, two first-round picks, and Russell Westbrook to bring over Kyrie Irving. So the Lakers could go ahead and get in some contention at post All-Star break. Josiah said no, people. Josiah said no, people. When people in power say no, just like I always say on the field of play, on the court, on the diamond, when the great ones say no, 9 times out of 10 is no. And now we're talking about one of the great ones in sports business, Josiah. Josiah is one of the greats in sports business. He's working for an organization that is playing in the Barclays Center. If you don't know what the Barclays Center is, Barclays is a big bank over in Europe. The Barclays Center is a big banking system in Europe. The Barclays. I learned that in my Fundamentals of Global Sports Management by Yellow Brick Online, and sponsored by New York University. So I learned all about the Barclays Center. That's the Barclays Center, the arena that the Nets play in. Oh, yeah, that's owned by big banking. Big banking, billionaires. Josiah is the owner of the team that is inside that arena, one such Brooklyn Nets organization. Josiah has power. He had power over Kyrie's rights to play. Josiah has dominion over Kyrie Irving's playing rights. Not over his physical body, but his physical body when it comes down to playing the sport that he loves, the way he makes his living. Now, Josiah can't say, hey, man, you don't have the right. I own your rights to play anywhere. I mean, I'm believing by union rules, if he asks for a trade, you have to give it to him. Well, he didn't have to give Kyrie a trade. Let me correct that. Because Kyrie Irving signed the contract. So, no, he didn't have to give him a trade. He could have just let him sit there like he did KD, like Josiah made KD do. Just let him sit there and wait. But Kyrie Irving wanted to force a trade, because he couldn't get a long-term contract. And so I guess Josiah just said, you know what, if you don't want to wait and talk about this after the season, we're already in third place in the East. If you don't want to wait till after the season to discuss this like men, like businessmen, and just focus on the season, let's see how far we can get. Let's try to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then we'll work on restructuring a deal or something like that after the season. Kyrie Irving like, no, I don't want to wait. If you can't offer me a long-term contract now, I've sold you enough this season on the type of player that I am. And don't get me wrong, people. Kyrie Irving been balling. He's been playing his butt off. I'm not going to take that from him. And I'm not judging Kyrie. I'm not judging Josiah. I'm not judging Kevin Durant. I'm not judging LeBron James. I'm not judging Jeannie Buss. I'm not judging anyone. All I'm doing is, as a professional armchair quarterback, using my platform to banter about the sports that I love the most, basketball being one of them. Now, all I'm saying is coming across the monitor, that a deal was made for Kyrie to reunite with LeBron James. And they're saying LeBron James is saying over the monitor that, and on Twitter, on the social media platforms, they're saying that LeBron is just like, is it me? Maybe it's me. You know, no, it's not LeBron James. It's not LeBron James as far as this Kyrie Irving trade with him going to Dallas. What it is that Josiah said, based on what the media experts are saying, Josiah's telling us that he can go anywhere but L.A. He's not, Kyrie is not getting what he wants. He's not going to be able to get what he wants this time. He's going to have to make that move to L.A. from Dallas. I'm selling him down south. I'm selling the rights to him to one such Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks. He's going to go down there and he can work his way out of Dallas, out of the DFW, toward L.A. and reunite with LeBron James. That's between him and Mark Cuban now. I'm out of it. He's not my issue anymore. He's not my headache anymore. He's not my homework anymore. Oh, yeah. That's the way it goes, people. Let's get off into some NCAA women's scores. Number 17, Gonzaga, 78 over San Francisco, 56. Number 17, Gonzaga in women's action, in women's NCAA basketball action. Number 17, Gonzaga, 78, San Francisco, 56. Number 24, Texas, 68, Kansas, 65. Number 24, Texas, 68, Kansas, 65. Who else we got here? We got Baylor, 76 over number 12, Iowa State, 70. Baylor, 76 over number 12, Iowa State, 70. Baylor wins 76-70 over Iowa State. We have number 19, Villanova, 78 over Butler, 58. Again, number 19, Villanova, 78 defeats Butler, 58. Villanova takes it 78-58. And we have number 20, Oklahoma, 93 over West Virginia, 68. Number 20, Oklahoma defeats West Virginia 93-68. Again, Oklahoma takes that one 93-68. And we have University of Texas San Antonio, 58. Middle Tennessee, number 21, Middle Tennessee, 53. So that's a good win for the University of Texas San Antonio, who is sitting at 6-16 and 5-4 at home. Again, University of Texas San Antonio, 58. Overranked number 21, Middle Tennessee, 53. UTSA takes it 58-53. And last we have number 25, South Florida, 65. SMU, 63. Number 25, South Florida, 65. Defeats SMU, 65-63. South Florida takes that one, 65-63. Let's see if we got some scores for the women on Sunday. If we got anything for them. See what we got here. We got a nice little baby of scores here for the women for Sunday. So again, in top 25 women's basketball action, number one, South Carolina, 81. Number five, UConn, 77. I saw a little bit of that game yesterday, but I was on my way out the door to a meeting. But number one, South Carolina defeats number five, UConn, 81-77. Boston for South Carolina had 26 points. And Edwards for UConn had 25 points. Again, number one, South Carolina defeats number five, UConn, 81-77. In other scores in NCAA women's action, we have ranked number six, Iowa, 95 over Penn State, 51. Ranked number six, Iowa, 95, Penn State, 51. Who else we got? We have Louisville, 62, defeats number 11, North Carolina, 55. Louisville, 62, North Carolina, 55. We also have number 16, Duke, 57, over number 9, Notre Dame, 52. Duke defeats Notre Dame, 57-52. We have ranked number 3, LSU, 72, defeats Texas A&M, 66. Ranked number 3, LSU, 72, Texas A&M, 66. And we had Reese for LSU. She had 26 points. and Jones for Texas A&M had 14. So Angel, who the Angel Reese, they don't put the first names on the monitor, but Angel Reese, 26 points. She's gonna be good. I like her, Angel Reese, 26 points for LSU. Angel Reese, 26 points, 22 rebounds for LSU. Ranked number 3, LSU defeats Texas A&M 72-66. We have number four, Indiana, 69 over Purdue, 46. Ranked number 4, Indiana, 69, defeats Purdue, 69-46. We have Washington, 72 over ranked number 2, Stanford, 67. Washington wins 72-67. We also have number 14, UCLA, 82 over Arizona State, 63. Number 14, UCLA, 82 over Arizona State, 63. So UCLA takes that one, 82-63. We have number 18, Michigan, 77 over Michigan State, 67. Number 18, Michigan defeats Michigan State, 77-67. We have number 22, Arizona, 81. USC Trojans, 75. Number 22, Arizona defeats USC, 81-75. We have number 10, Ohio State. They lost to number 8, Maryland, 90-54. Number 8, Maryland defeats number 10, Ohio State, 90-54. Maryland wins 90-54 over Ohio State. And the last score I have is for NCAA women's basketball action, top 25. We have number 7, Utah, 100 over Oregon, 92. Number 7, Utah defeats Oregon, 100-92. Again, Utah defeats Oregon, then Utah wins. Utah wins 100-92. All right, that's all my NCAA women's action. Let's get off into some NHL. I want to see, get some all-star scores from this weekend. I didn't get to see the All-Star game. I was ripping and running, so I didn't get to see it. But I want to see what happened on yesterday at the All-Star game. I think that was Saturday. There we go. All right. I don't know how they did this, but I'm going to do the best I can because I'm trying to understand the NHL All-Star format. They called it a semifinal. Okay, basically, how they did it, they had the Pacific and the Central in NHL All-Star semifinal. Central 6, Pacific 4 in the semifinal for the NHL All-Star game. The Central 6, Pacific 4. And then we had Atlantic 10 over Metro 6 in the NHL All-Star semifinal. So the Atlantic Division 10, Metro Division 6. And they went off into the final, which was the Atlantic Division 7 over the Central Division 5. So Atlantic Division 7 defeats the Central Division 5. Atlantic Division wins the NHL All-Star Final 7-5. Again, the Atlantic Division wins the NHL All-Star Final 7-5 over Central. Atlantic takes it 7-5. All right. I want to make sure I show love to my NHL guys and everything like that. I want to make sure I show some love. But in NHL action today, we got the Lightning will be playing the Panthers today. The Islanders will be playing the Flyers. The Flames will be playing the Rangers. The Canucks will be playing the Devils. The Ducks will be playing the Stars. And the Wild will be playing the Coyotes. Again, the Coyotes will be playing the Wild. The Stars will be playing the Ducks. The Devils will be playing the Canucks. The Rangers will be playing the Flames. Rangers will be playing the Flames today. The Flyers will be playing the Islanders today. And the Panthers will be playing the Lightning today. So that's going to be today. So I think all these times are between 4, 4 p.m., 4:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m., 6 o'clock. That's the time range from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And I believe that's going to be that's Pacific time for me, but it'll be definitely 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. East Coast time, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. These games will be taking place on your outlets, you know, TNT, ESPN, and all that different stuff. You can just check social media and your sports outlets, and they'll let you know exactly what channel these games are going to be broadcasting on for NHL. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick station break here real quick, and I'm going to come back and wrap up some stuff. For those of you just tuning in, today's show was Blazing Saddles in the West. That was the topic. The host would debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding a big trade between the East and the West in the NBA before the trade deadline. Topics to be discussed but not limited to would be the Brooklyn Nets and Dallas Mavericks. We talked about that. NHL All-Star results, we talked about that. NCAA men's and women's top 25 scores in basketball, we talked about that. And breaking news from the NFL and MLB. I don't have any breaking news, but we know the Super Bowl is going to be February 12th, if I'm correct. Super Bowl will be February 12th, which will be, I believe, this Sunday. I got to check on that. Let me make sure that I'm telling you the right info. Let me go back to my my sports media app. Let me get that down for the Super Bowl. I want to have the correct correct information for you guys. I don't like to give half information. Let me make sure I'm giving you the right information. All right, so we got Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, February. I just want to make sure I got the right date for the Super Bowl, because on the thing that I'm using, they're talking about all kind of different stuff. So anyway, the Super Bowl is Sunday, February the 12th. I want to make sure I gave you the right date. I apologize for the mix-up. NFL schedule, Sunday, February 12th is the Super Bowl. Sunday, February the 12th, the Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles, and that's going to be in Glendale, Arizona. Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles, going to be at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, Sunday, February 12th, the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles will square off 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, so that'll be 7:30 p.m. East Coast time. Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles will be going at it from the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, on Sunday, February the 12th. We had some Pro Bowl action yesterday. I don't think I really want to go into that, this Pro Bowl stuff. it's gotten to the point to where it's so ridiculous. I'm like, is it even worth me going over? I'm gonna try though. Let me see if I can pull up something on the Pro Bowl. I'm gonna try. There we go. Sunday, February 5th. AFC 33, NFC 35. So the NFC won the Pro Bowl game, the flag football game, I guess. And then, you know, I don't know how they did it. I know they had a flag football game, supposedly coached by the Mannings, one team Eli, one team Peyton. But the NFC team won 35-33. NFC 35, AFC 33. So the NFC flag football team for the Pro Bowl won 35-33. Over the AFC 33. Again, NFC wins 35-33 for the Pro Bowl flag football game. All right, that was kind of hard to do because I'm used to the actual game being played. But you know, I guess they had to do something because these games have become softer and softer. So they just basically look like they're turning into like some kind of fan fest. And that's cool. Major League Baseball, they do a good fan fest. I've been to one. I've actually worked one behind the scenes. So Major League Baseball do a good fan fest. And so it looked like they've done the same thing for the Pro Bowl. in Arizona. If I'm correct, they were in Arizona for that. And then, so they done a good fan fest, and they played a little, played some dodgeball and some other stuff, dodgeball, some skills competitions or something like that. And then they capped it off with the with the flag football game. So I guess I kind of like the format, but it's just gonna take me some getting used to for me to have to kind of like be keeping up with the scores and the results of that. I'm more so just waiting on the Super Bowl. In Major League Baseball, I don't have any breaking news besides here locally. I San Diego Padres. I heard on the monitor that they had a good turnout for our San Diego Padres Fan Fest this weekend at Petco Park. I heard that it was a really great time for those who attended and those who were reporting on it. So it was a really great time, a really good vibe. Everybody's excited about the season getting ready to start here soon for opening day, not too far away. I think we're about, what, I think April. They'll do opening day for April. So right after NCAA March Madness, we'll be going off in the opening day for the Major League Baseball, you know, right after March Madness is over with. So I think the first week of April, we'll start doing our Major League Baseball opening day. So I'm excited about our hometown San Diego Padres getting back in action. And we'll have Tatis Jr. back this year. I believe he'll be able to start up at the beginning of the year because he served the suspension last year, if I'm correct. So I'm excited about that. I'm going to take a quick station break real quick so I can wet my throat so I don't get hoarse, but stand by. Yes. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California. WBESE, that's W Best in Chula Vista, California. It is 9:45 a.m. and it is 56 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. I'm going to mark this part of the show at the 9:45 mark, second hour. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some spring football free agency. A big thing is right now, word came out that the AFL is coming back. Arena Football League is coming back for 2024. It's Black History Month, so I'm going to announce that they said the commissioner for the newly relaunched AFL is an African-American gentleman. I don't have his name, but I'll try to get that once I do some more reading up on it. But the AFL is doing a relaunch for 2024. They are this is a major league, and it's been around for a long time, but it has had its moments to where they folded, came back. You know, it happens with a lot of spring leagues. But anyway, AFL has been the standard for indoor arena style football. Well, I don't want to say indoor, but I'll say for football that plays indoor, football that is played in an indoor arena, football that is played in an indoor arena, an indoor venue, the AFL has been known to be the standard over the years since I've been following sports. You know, the great ones like Kurt Warner came from there. The Grudens came out of this that situation. It's just different coaches or players in the league have started out in the AFL in Arena One, but notably, of course, Kurt Warner, and he went on to, you know, go to the Super Bowl two times. He won one and lost one. Won one with the Los Angeles Rams and lost one with the with the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, the reason why I'm bringing up AFL Arena One, I want to share a story with you. When I came in, when I started, you know, doing what I do, managing athletes and trying to get them opportunities to get into the pro developmental film leagues to move up. One day I woke up and a coach from the Arena League, AFL, I consider that Arena One, the highest level of football that's played inside. A coach, Les Moss, from the Albany Empire, reached out. He followed me, and I reached out. I don't know why he followed me, but I reached out to him, and I just told him, hey, coach, can I have an email to start sending you some players? Make a long story short to save on time because we're coming to the close of the show. Coach Moss sent me an email, his email, and I was able to start sending players and getting them workouts. The players that I had, they were players from small schools, you know, NAIA schools, Division II, Division III schools. I was sending players, and occasionally I'll get a FCS. Well, occasionally I get players like either FBS or FCS players that I was sending as well. But, you know, of course, those players, you know, they're trying to wait for the draft and stuff like that, you know. But at least I was able to present the opportunity in case the draft didn't work out. You can still go play in the spring for the AFL and make some decent money while you're doing it. Make a decent check. I think at the time they were paying like $1,100, and then they had like a players union at the time. So everything looked good. But the people that really benefited from the athletes, my clients that really benefited from the opportunity were guys that they came from small schools, again, NAIA schools, NCAA Division III, NCAA Division II schools. Those guys like that took advantage of the opportunity. I had several clients of mine that went up to Albany, New York, and worked out on a three-day trial waiver for the Albany Empire. That year, the Albany Empire won the Arena Bowl Championship. That was the last one that they did, and it was on TV. That was the last one they did before the league folded. I think the league went bankrupt. But now they're doing a relaunch for 2024, and I'm happy because I'm hoping to be able to send them more clients. I'm hoping to get some emails for the new relaunch, the new teams and everything, so I can send players that need a look at a high level. I'm at a high level of competition because, again, and when I sent my players down there, they told me, number one, they told me, those guys that play in AFL, they're really good because they ran into people that had been in the Canadian League, people that had been in the NFL. That's what they were playing against, people that were NFL camp cuts and CFL camp cuts, or had played or had made the CFL roster and got cut, and some had made NFL rosters and got cut, whether it was on the practice squads or the 53-man roster or whatever have you in those two leagues, CFL and NFL. So my guys, coming from smaller schools, they went up there and they told me, they said, you know what? I had a great experience. They gave me a pro experience. They fed us three times a day, fed us well. We learned how to do film breakdown. We did our weight training and our conditioning. We did our practices and everything like that. And they coached us up. They said it was a real pro experience at a real pro facility. Oh, yeah. The AFL gave my clients a real opportunity to go out there and prove themselves and try to earn a camp roster opportunity to come into camp, compete, and see if they can stick to an AFL roster. But one thing my guys also realize is this. They said being there, I realize that those guys are really good. Those guys that play there are really good. Because when you're going up against somebody that made an NFL roster, made an NFL practice squad, made a CFL roster, made a CFL practice squad, he said their experience showed. I had to get coached up in some moments. I tried to give as good as I got. But what I realized is those guys are really good. And I'm saying this to say that I'm hoping and praying that I'll be able to get some contacts with this new launch of the AFL so I can give my current clients, my current and future clients, the opportunity to go and work out, do a three-day tryout waiver, and maybe make a camp roster. I want to give my guys the same opportunity because all my guys that went up to Albany for the Albany Empire when they were in the AFL, the last year that they were in the AFL and won the championship, Coach Les Moss and the GM Dave Ewart, they gave my guys an opportunity to come up there. They would contact me and say, hey, we need some DBs, we need some linemen, we need this and that. And I was sending what they needed. And they gave a lot of my guys an opportunity. And those guys that took the advantage of the opportunity, they went up there and they understood that they had to work on some things. They had to keep playing and working on some things. And some of my guys were good enough to be considered, oh, yeah, we're thinking about bringing him into camp. We think that we can bring him into camp. But the league went bankrupt, you know, for the last couple of years. But now they're back. So hopefully I'll get that opportunity to send guys up again. And I'm saying all this to you guys. Never think the opportunity, especially when you're coming out of college, never think that the opportunity is too big for you. At the same time, quit asking how much do these leagues pay. Oh, well, how much do they pay? It doesn't matter how much they pay. You need the film and the experience, people. However, AFL 1 was a decent paycheck. I think they were doing about $1,100 a game. But, I mean, if you're really trying to develop and play, money shouldn't be on your mind. Opportunity to prove yourself should be on your mind. Because even at the lowest levels of arena, you're still going to be running the guys that played FBS D1, FCS D1, that are trying to work their way back up to a AFL contract, a CFL contract, a XFL, USFL contract, on their way to an NFL contract. But how do you get to the bigger money? You got to keep proving yourself. Quit asking, oh, well, how much do the league pay? How much do the league pay? It doesn't matter how much the league pay if you're already coming from a marginalized school, meaning a small school that didn't offer a junior day, didn't offer a pro day, didn't have you set up for East or West Shrine Bowl invite, Senior Bowl invite, NFLPA Bowl invite. You're not getting any looks from any scouts because a lot of these schools, Division I NCAA gets one scout visit, and then anything below NCAA Division II, they don't get any scout visits. NCAA Division III, they don't get a scout visit from the NFL. They don't get a scout visit from the NFL in the NAIA school. So you're already coming out of a marginalized situation, and you're not even on the draft board. You may think you're on the draft board, but you're not on the draft board if none of those things have happened to you that I just said, meaning East-West Senior NFL PA Bowl invites, a junior day, in your junior season, which is your pro day, your junior year, giving you a verifiable draft ranking going into your senior year, top 100 in your position. Then if your school don't offer a pro day, then if you're going to a school that doesn't have any scouts coming down to see you, unless your coach got some relationships on his own to help you get a pro day or have scouts coming looking at you, you're not on the draft board. If Pro Football Focus, ESPN, and all these different media outlets aren't already writing about you, you're not on the draft board. So when I call you with an opportunity to play in the spring at whatever level, take the opportunity and quit asking, oh, how much they pay? It doesn't matter how much they pay, because right now your services are worth what they state. If they say it's 180 a game, 150 a game, 225 a game, 400 a game, 500 a game, whatever they pay, that's what your services are worth to them in their platform. But let's thank God that at least they have a platform for you to keep proving yourself, getting better, getting quality film to move up to a XFL, a USFL, a AFL, a CFL, a NFL contract. With that being said, I want to encourage everybody out there to stay light, not darkness. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Remember, there's only one race. That's the human race. Make sure you get your COVID-19 boosters. Make sure you get your flu shots because it is still cold season. Make sure you keep your mask on and in crowded places, and make sure you keep some hand sanitizer on you at all times. God be willing. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And with that being said, I also want to apologize for missing Thursday, last Thursday. I kind of was doing a little bit of mini vacation, and I was still trying to do the show in between a mini vacation, and I was a little burnt out on Thursday. But I apologize for missing the show, but thank you for those of you that understand that I have 88 episodes that you can always go back and pick one of those 88 episodes and get your stogies and beer fix quenched. With that being said, this is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer radio show. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're going to go ahead on and tell everybody to have a safe day. Pray for those on the East Coast and all this bad weather, and pray for the war in Ukraine to end. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and set black and fade all. We'll see you all tomorrow. Have a great day. Goodbye.